you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings. This is the automatically deleted husband still trying to reconcile with his wife. And I think about four things. One is, you know, when you do propaganda, a reasonable thing comes to mind. What you need to do is train your audience to say, okay, I want to look at a particular set of things and make them false. So you find something that's close and sensationalize those that go off a little bit in the deep end and say, well, anybody that goes in this direction, I'm going to put all of them in that crowd. An example that comes to mind is there is this idea that 5G causes COVID-19. And there were some, I think mostly it was in England, where people set fire to some 5G towers. So what that did is it makes people who say, I have a problem with 5G, look like the people who say 5G causes the COVID-19. Because that 5G causing COVID-19 is a little bit of a reach. So you can take those people and say, look, they're a little bit loony. So anybody who says there's a problem with 5G is loony. 5G is a serious problem. A serious health problem that's documented. But what you have to do is, since you don't want people to look at that, you find the little fringe things and say, well, if you have any problem, you're part of this fringe group. And you know, it's kind of I see that in so many areas. You know, for example, you know, there's obviously issues right now with masks and vaccines. And what you do, what you find, is people will go and find the little fringe groups and say, okay, because the fringe groups, we can say, look at those people, laugh at them and so forth. So anybody who disagrees with the authoritative view is part of this fringe group. So, you know, I see those things happening. And then what you could do is point the same thing with, you know, our institutional church uses that same technique. We will look at somebody and say, okay, they have this particular thing, and we're going to associate that to a little fringe thing. The one example I like is because I use the Acts 20:20 verse where Paul goes, teaches publicly and house to house. And because you get the connotation then that publicly, a guy, you know, the street preacher idea, the guy that goes out with his Bible, gets into a corner and just simply speaks to draw a crowd. That's not what he's talking about. It's interacting with people when you have the one-on-one or small group conversation, which is what I do. And I've done it several times, and it's marvelous. Or house to house, and you get the idea of the Jehovah's Witnesses who go house to house because they're trying to evangelize and grow their numbers. Whereas house to house is, I'm coming because I have a scheduled visit. I have a relationship. So I'm coming to see you because I have a relationship, not that I'm going just randomly door to door in order to do a cold call, which is actually what I did about 2 hours ago. You know, you go to people you meet, but you go to their house as opposed to come to our institution. So I see the propaganda in the world, and it's the same thing in the institutional church. Why is this a concern? Because what happens is you can get a connotation of people because of how they've been propagandized, and therefore not want to deal with them. The obvious example would be, you know, I have interacted not too much, but I've had some interface with Muslims, and show them respect, but more interface with Mormons, you know, because I have two friends that are Mormons, and you know, I had the one case. So far, it's only been one opportunity, but it was a wonderful day where we sat down in a cafe in a library and discussed theology. It was marvelous because they're not my enemies. And I don't approach them with that propaganda idea saying, oh, because you have this perspective, I'm going to write you off. but rather I will engage them with facts, with evidence, and do it joyfully and love, and with love as the objective. Because I'm not trying to make a conversion. I am one of these people who actually believe what the Bible says, in the sense that no one comes to the Father except the Father draws him. So, you know, this is the election idea that God alone chooses. So I don't have to evangelize, but I have to, because the Great Commission is to make disciples, not to evangelize. And so I can meet with people and encourage them in obedience to Christ, because I don't have to convince them. The Lord does that. And that gives you tremendous freedom. But what it allows you to do also is deal with people you disagree with and engage them as human beings created in the image of God, even if they're destined for an eternity of toast. You can engage people lovingly, because your trust is in the Lord, not in what you have to do, or not in where they stand. You can stand solid as a follower of Christ with somebody who vehemently disagrees with you. And that's why I have a lot of, know a lot of people and interface with a lot of people. We simply don't agree, but we have a joyful and respectful interaction with each other. I saw the exact opposite of that with my father-in-law, Jim Cross, because I sent out some postcards and he responded to the postcard. My postcard was simply, "Please, let's reconcile." And the first thing is, confess to your sins, but the sins I have defined, repent to me. These are the things you must do before, and then grovel at my feet effectively, before we can truly reconcile. But then, of course, I will. The best terminology I can come up with right now is a loveless coward. Because if you have to stand with preconditions in order to interface with someone, you'll never sit down in a cafe with Mormons to talk with them, to show them love, to respect them as human beings and created in the image of God, to be a follower of Christ and show love. You can't do that if your priority is, I got to set up terms. That's hateful. That is literally hateful. And when you do that, in order to isolate kids from their dad, a wife from her husband, that is the epitome of hate. And when love is handed to you on a silver platter, and you spit in the face of the person doing that, and you plug your ears, you turn to them a stone-cold heart, it's not very polite. It's a fraud. And I've pointed out, 1 John 2 describes what happens like that, you know, because you're not obeying the Lord's commands, and you're showing hate to a brother. And the Lord says, not me, the Lord says, you are a liar, and the truth is not in you. So that's what I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with a loveless coward. And I'm going to continue to offer grace to that loveless coward, hoping that that heart of stone will one day be a heart of flesh. The dialogue I had today with my friend Chris was, these are rather strong words. The email exchange I had with Jim Cross, I used rather strong words. But note, I didn't set up terms. I just simply pointed out things that are true, man to man, not man to wimp, and not authority to minion or underling, but as a brother saying, this is what I see in this scripture, correct me where I'm wrong, rather than just simply insult me and say, until you meet my demands, I won't deal with you. If you set up your own demands, you're a loveless coward, because you're not showing any love to someone who's trying to reconcile with you, and you're unwilling to engage in dialogue. my Mormon friends think I'm toast because I don't embrace the teachings of Joseph Smith. They say, you're not going to make it. I tell them they're polytheists, and they admit to that. They're not serving the God of the Bible. So they understand, I believe, they're toast. And we're friends. We dialogue. We've actually, you know, my friend in Utah, we've actually been on the phone a few times. We disagree with each other. We don't see hope in the other, but as an act of love, we'll deal with each other. Someone who says he claims Christ and is unwilling to deal with a brother who claims Christ is a loveless coward. And as I pointed out, the Apostle Peter was a coward and repented. Mr. Cross, I ask you to repent. I quote the Matthew 5:24, your brother has something against you, and you simply quote it back to me. That's not an exchange. I point to the scripture, you point to songs. If you were a man who was a follower of Christ, you would engage me rationally and get on the phone with me. Otherwise, go ahead and tell Zadok, Walter, Glory Jane, Susanna, and George that I'm going to isolate you from your dad because of my rules, because I hate him. And in doing so, what I'm going to do is hate my kids. That's what you're doing. You're hating my kids by isolating them from their dad. My hand of reconciliation is still reaching out to you, but I'm going to do so based on truth. And right now, you've offered me a pack of lies. Engage with me. Show love. Be a follower of Christ. Act like a man. The andrismi that I've explained in detail in my foundation series of videos. Be a man. And let all that you do be based in love. And by the way, Dorothy Jane, my lady, I love you.